Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System. Christus Spahn Health System is making a multi-million dollar investment in the health of Coastal Bend families with a new shoreline tower featuring state-of-the-art life-saving medical technology for a growing community. More information is available at ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My dear brothers and sisters, since the beginning of Lent until now, we have prepared our hearts by penance and charitable works. Today we gather to herald with the whole church the beginning of the celebration of the Lord's Paschal Mystery. That is to say, his passion and resurrection. For it was to accomplish this mystery that he entered his own city of Jerusalem. Therefore, with all faith and devotion, let us commemorate the Lord's entry into the city of our salvation, following in his footsteps, so that, being made by his grace partakers of the cross, we may have a share also in his resurrection and in his life. Let us pray. Increase the faith of those who place their hope in you, O Lord, and graciously hear the prayers of those who call on you, that we who today hold high these branches to hail Christ in his triumph may bear fruit for you by good works accomplished in him, who lives and reigns forever and ever. May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim his gospel worthily and well, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent off went off and found everything just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he approaching the slope of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He said in reply, 'I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Let us go forth in peace.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit to share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear. And I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beards. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I should not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
According to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with the apostles. He said to them,
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you that from this time on, I shall not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet behold, the hand of one who is to betray me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves, who among them would do such a deed? Then an argument broke out among them about which of them should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it is not so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, and I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny me three times.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing, they replied.
He said to them,
But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what was written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about a stone's throw from them and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still, not my will, but yours be done.
And to strengthen him, an angel from heaven appeared to him. He was in such agony, and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, a crowd approached, and in front was one of the 12, a man named Judas. He went up to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike with a sword?
And one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
Stop, no more of this.
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and temple guards and elders who had come for him,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day, I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness.
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter sat down with them. When a maid saw him seated in the light, she looked intently at him and said,
This man, too, was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
Woman, I do not know him.
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
You, too, are one of them.
But Peter answered,
My friend, I am not.
About an hour later, still another insisted,
Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
My friend, I do not know what you are talking about.
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him. They blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
Prophecy, who is it that struck you?
And they reviled him, and saying many other things against him. When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin and said,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all asked,
"Are you the Son of God?"
He replied to them,
"You say I am."
Then they said,
"What further need have we for this testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. They brought charges against him, saying, asked him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then addressed the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean, and upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him and had been hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him harshly. Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting the people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
But all together they shouted out, "Now Barabbas had been in prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder." Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus. But they continued their shouting, Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I have had him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been in prison for rebellion and murder, for whom they asked. And he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. They led him away. They took hold of a certain Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched. The rulers, meanwhile, sneered at him and said, "The soldiers jeered at him as they approached to offer him wine. They called out, 'Hosanna.' Above him there was an inscription that read, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.'
The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply,
'Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal.'
Then he said,
'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'
He replied to him,
'Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
'Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.'
And when he had said this, he breathed his last." The centurion who witnessed what had happened glorified God and said,
"This man was innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for this spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances stood at a distance, including the women who had followed him from Galilee and saw these events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was waiting and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken the body down, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which his body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had an attitude. When we hear that in the year 2019, we might think of everything negative, people's attitudes. But in the verse before the reading that we just had from the letter to the Philippians, St. Paul says to the community of Philippi, your attitude, your sentiments must be that of Christ Jesus. It's the motto that I have taken from my episcopacy 9 years ago. Your attitude must be that of Christ. It is certainly something to long for, to reach for, and something that each one of us, through the events of life, can develop, to have the attitude of Christ, who, though he was God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped at. In other words, God made himself nothing. God reduced himself to silence. God reduced himself in Jesus Christ to be taken at the hands of men and women and led to the cross. He humbled himself even to the cross, and was obedient to the Father's will, even to death. Today we begin Holy Week, a week that unfolds the mystery of the Lord's presence among us, beginning at Christmas, the Incarnation, but also reveals his mission, the mission of Jesus Christ in the attitude of humility, that he gave his life for us. He came to live with us as human beings, but he gave his life for us. Those of us who hold palms in our hands today are proclaiming in a real, concrete way that Jesus Christ is the way to God, the truth, and life. The way, the truth, and the life. As in the gospel, his disciples and the crowds welcomed him into their city, proclaiming him to be the Lord and King. And they did this according to St. Luke's gospel that we read at the center of the church, the cathedral, because they saw the mighty deeds that he had done. They proclaimed him because of what they saw he did. But we can also ask the question, where were they on the day he was taken into custody? Where were they on the day he was condemned to death? Where were the crowds when the crowd said, crucify him, hand over Barabbas to us? Where were they on the day that Christ was led to the cross? And where were they on the day of resurrection? It is easy for us to come to celebrations, to liturgies, to celebrate an event of the past. But the question for us today is, where are we in the Lord's passion today? Because the church continues to make up in herself what is lacking in the passion, the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to Jerusalem not to receive praise from the crowd and from the disciples who were following him. He did not go there to confront the political and religious authorities of the day with shouting and rancor. Jesus went to Jerusalem to accomplish his mission. He went with the attitude of a humble servant to accomplish the mission of our redemption. He came to confront the painful and humiliating passion and suffering that was inflicted upon him because of rumors, narrow-minded gossip, and intransigent ideologies of religion. He came to Jerusalem to free every man, woman, and child from their slavery to sin, their slavery to their blind egos, and from their worship of false idols, all of which enslave us still today. Jesus did not go there. He went there only as a man of passion. Passion for the will of his Father, not his own. A passion for love and mercy, not for judgment and condemnation. Jesus' attitude and his reason for going to Jerusalem was to express his passion for truth and justice, not gossip and false ideologies that satisfy earthly desires. Jesus went to Jerusalem ultimately to experience the humiliation of the cross for you and for me, because he loved and loves each one of us personally. He went to the cross to express the love of God. We all know, sisters and brothers, because we are members of the body of Christ, that the church, you and I, are going through a modern day passion, a modern day suffering. The members of his body have sinned against God and against neighbor. Others have been overtaken by purely secular ideologies and promises only of earthly rewards and pleasures, and others follow false gospels. Some who have waved palms over the years on Palm Sunday no longer stand with us because they have been wounded by the sins and the scandals that have existed within our church, the body of Christ. But we are here today to enter into this holy week of the Lord's Passion to stand with Christ, to be here for one another, to assist each other in this time of need. His love for each man, woman, and child motivated every action that he took upon himself during his life, and especially during this holy week. And so this week, let us examine ourselves, not to just celebrate liturgies, as beautiful as they are, as meaningful as they are, but let us put ourselves as the body of Christ into the attitude of Christ and walk with him this week. In 1966, August 3rd, in a general audience, Pope St. Paul VI said this, knowing the sufferings of the church in those days after the Second Vatican Council. He said, "Those who carefully consider the relationship between the church and human suffering will be able to understand something of the mystery of adversity which the church itself encounters and suffers. The passion of the Lord, the head of the church, continues in its members, in his mystical body, the church. In other words, sisters and brothers, the passion of the Lord is not complete. The sufferings that Jesus took upon himself on that day in Jerusalem continue today in each one of us personally, but in our church as a whole. But he said something to me that is for me, that is extremely powerful and beautiful and challenging to us. As you know, we have, over the years, and I would say we need to return to it, have called the church our mother. His question in 1966, should we not love our mother, the church, even more than ever in these sufferings? Should we not love her more than ever? The Pope invited those who are there to have a passion for the church, as Jesus had a passion for us that became the church. He invited them to have a passion for the church, an ardent love for the church. And he explained that this kind of love, when one truly loves with passion, it puts everything else aside. To love the church in this way means to hate, to drown into oblivion, and even forget what is untrue, all atheistic ideas, and every mistake. Basically, he's inviting us today to not give in to the passions of this world that are luring people into false ideologies, to false ways of thinking, and eventually into the elimination of God. This kind of oblivion is not only oblivion, rather, he says, it is the fullness of love for the church that will enable us and the entire church to overcome the errors that in reality are non-being and non-truth. Sisters and brothers, you and I need to wake up, to awaken ourselves to be church. And that happens when we follow Christ, not just with our Sunday worship, but every day, that our attitude is his in every thought, in every action, in every decision that we make. In that, we become church. And so let us accompany the church in all of her parts, in the agony and the passions that she is now suffering. Let us stand firm in our love for God and for one another, especially for the poor and for those who are wounded by members of the church. And let us rejoice with the entire church throughout the world on Easter Sunday and proclaim again this year, but in a new way, Christ is risen. He is not dead, he is alive. On Thursday of this week, I will journey to the St. Dismas community at the McConnell Unit of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to celebrate the Mass of the Last Supper and wash the feet of those 12 of those men. In this, I hope it is a sign that the Church, the body of Christ, in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, stands with those who are suffering. Not only them who have perpetrated evil upon others and are now asking forgiveness, but also those who have been hurt, those who are harmed by the actions of others. Let the church, let each one of us be a sign not of criticism of one another, but signs of reconciliation and redemption. If we truly understand the meaning of this week in all of its aspects, this week is our redemption. And if we feel and know that we are loved and redeemed by Jesus Christ, let us express that redemption and forgiveness to all of humanity. Let us not turn in on ourselves and protect ourselves, circling the wagons, but let's open ourselves to all of humanity and be there to bring the true love of God, forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption to our brothers and sisters. Together now, let us stand and offer to God our faith as we profess our creed. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Sisters and brothers, we are confident that God listens to us when we cry out. So we call to mind our needs and the needs of our church and our world as we voice these prayers.
Successor of St. Peter, that through his words and actions he may guide us and strengthen us in our Christian mission. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For leaders of all nations, especially those in the Holy Land, that they may enable all their citizens to worship freely. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For those who feel lost or abandoned, that they may know the grace of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For all of us, as we contemplate our Lenten journey, that we may be strengthened in faith, hope, and love as we gather to worship during this Holy Week, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Lord give members of our military courage and strength against all enemies, both spiritual and physical, and hasten their safe journey back to their homes and families. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Jack Collins, Jacob Collins, Benjamin Collins, Pablo Trevino, deceased members of the Mew family, and Katie Marsh. And for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts and all our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord. God, like your Son, we turn to you in our need. And like your Son, may we accept your will as your response to our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by Christus Spahn Health System, making a multi-million dollar investment in a new state-of-the-art shoreline tower. For more information on the region's most advanced medical center with skilled physicians and highly specialized services like trauma, heart, surgery, and urology all under one roof, log on to ourpathforward.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System for their continuing support of the Cathedral Sunday Mass. If you have been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.